So I'd like to chat with you briefly about compassion and growing into compassion. So a few reflections that I've come up with over the past few days around this. So I think it's important to have some sense of definition. I think we throw around the word compassion pretty readily, and I think it helps to have some sense of what we're really talking about. Often compassion is thought of as empathy, and they're not really equivalent. In my mind, compassion has three basic components. Yes, empathy is part of it, but there's also equanimity and there's altruism. So with empathy, we're talking about that empathic resonance, that resonance we feel emotionally with others when we, whether we're meeting pain or any experience, any emotion. So we're wired to resonate with one another. And it's talked about as the quivering of the heart, which I think is quite lovely. And that resonance is of the heart, it's of the body, and it's of the mind. So that's the empathy piece. We feel something, yeah, in the face of one another's suffering. Equanimity is a key component of compassion, because equanimity is that balance of mind, that perspective, that wider view, that remembering that each one of us is on their own journey. So it has a number of components, but it's this real grounding quality that helps us not spin off into sorrow in the face of suffering. And then altruism is that energetic component, so that we don't, again, don't sink into sorrow, but there's this impulse to act, to help. And as Thich Nhat Hanh says, compassion is a verb. Very, very important piece. In Buddhist psychology, they talk about near and far enemies of compassion. And the far enemies are quite obvious, cruelty. Yeah, but some of the others that are not quite so obvious might be hatred, disgust, and even fear. You know, that disgust and that fear in the face of someone else's suffering, or even our own, that we can all have. And this is really counterproductive to compassion. So that's the far enemy. Now, the near enemy are those masqueraders of compassion. And I've already mentioned one, which is sorrow. We get overwhelmed by the suffering and we sink into sorrow. And then we may say we're feeling so much compassion, it hurts. This is not compassion. This is sorrow. And the other near enemy is pity, which has that hierarchical piece to it where, oh, you're suffering. Yeah, you, I know you're suffering, but I'm not suffering, right? So it has that superiority, and it forgets that really important piece around compassion, which is to suffer with. We all suffer. We all suffer. It's an equal playing ground. It's important that we root our compassion in wisdom. So what do I mean by that? So some real basic pieces of wisdom here need to be remembered. One, we all suffer, right? We all suffer. Nobody's immune. Two, impermanence. Nothing lasts. Yeah? And three, that non-identification piece, or the non-self piece, that everything is connected. So we could put that in three little phrases that I heard some teacher say, and I can't remember his name. Sorry. But they're not mine. But it is, we're not alone, nothing lasts, and everything is connected. I think that's really, really helpful to bear in mind. So here's a little reading from Indigenous tradition, Chief Seattle. All things are connected. All things share the same breath. The beast, the tree, the man. The air shares its spirit with all the life it supports. So how do we cultivate compassion, create the conditions for compassion? I think cultivating compassion, we can't kind of force it, but we can cultivate the conditions for it to show up. And what comes to my mind are three basic conditions to focus on: being open, cultivating openness, being mindful, and investigating. And I'm sure you could add other points, but this is a short little talk and it's one day. So three things to bear in mind that I'll try to reinforce throughout the day. So openness. And to me, openness requires remembering that wisdom that I just spoke about, that we all suffer, we're all connected, and everything passes. So the all suffer piece, remember, no better, no worse than others, all connected, you know, that interbeing that Thich Nhat Hanh talks about, and all passes. The all passes piece, I think, helps us have hope that we can endure and that the others can endure. And you think about the people with the cyclone. You know, it's horrible, horrible suffering right now. And of course, many have died and many will die. And yet, you know, our sense of a bigger perspective and that knowing that all passes can give us some hope for endurance and resilience for those folks and our capacity to support them. And so this equanimity piece is very important. We have to keep reminding ourselves of this. As much as we want to help others, we also have to remember they're on their journeys. So we lend a hand, and it's kind of like we lend a hand in compassion and we also let go. Kind of simultaneously, if that makes sense to you. In keeping ourselves open, so we have to remember these wisdom pieces, but we also have to get very practical. We have to keep grounding ourselves and being very practical, grounding in the body, feeling our feet, feeling our hands, feeling the breath, you know, opening to sounds and sights, really grounding in the here and now, in the body. This is so important when we feel like we're spinning off into sorrow, whether because of the suffering of the world or our own suffering in response to that or in response to something else. Really grounding in the body, being very deliberate. There's a meditation teacher, Frank, I think it's Ostensky. I don't think I'm pronouncing it right. But anyway, he's lovely. And he talks about with this grounding in compassion of having a strong back and a soft front. And I just think that's beautiful and very practical and helpful. So we want to really root ourselves in the body, down through the back, through the legs, through the hands, nice and strong, and yet soft through the chest, through the heart, open-hearted, yeah, so we don't close off. So openness, grounding in the here and now, remembering the wisdom, and we have to keep our intention to open and compassion alive, and that takes some reminding throughout this day, throughout our lives, really. We have to keep reminding ourselves that we want to be compassionate, that we're wired for compassion. We're also wired for other things, you know, brute survival of our own skin. So we have to keep that intention alive. So cultivating the conditions for compassion. One, being open. Two, our basic mindfulness. We can't open into compassion unless we know what's actually happening. Yeah. And mindfulness is, you know, this engaged attention here and now without judgment, with compassion. And it's a bare attention. It's not adding that extra. You know? Not adding those stories. Oh yes. Here she is. Christina Feldman. I'm just going to go to the third point, which is the interest. So we got to stay open, be mindful, and stay interested. So this is our investigative factor, which, you know, is that curiosity factor that's always underlined in practice. And sometimes very deliberately we engage in investigation in our practice with the RAIN acronym. Or the other one that we've been working with lately is GRAIN, which we add the G in front of the RAIN. So we're grounding and then the RAIN practice. We have to keep up the interest too in our own suffering if we're to be interested in the sufferings of others. And one leads to the other. And I think you all know that and have experienced that. And to remember that opening to our own suffering is a gateway to opening to the suffering of others. And the Dalai Lama beautifully says it, for someone to develop genuine compassion towards others, first he or she must have a basis upon which to cultivate compassion. And that basis is the ability to connect to one's own feelings and to care for one's own welfare. Caring for others requires caring for oneself. So I'll emphasize that throughout the day as well. And it's a lovely feedback loop, you know, if we stay open, remembering wisdom, being grounded, our intentions, opening with mindfulness, staying interested, investigating. You know, the compassion will start to show up. And that creates trust in our capacity to hold our own suffering and the suffering of others. And so then we do it again. So it's a lovely positive feedback loop. And compassion grows, rises, and then grows, keeps growing. So Christina Feldman, nice summary of a lot of these things. So compassion is not just a feeling. It is a response to pain that is deeply rooted in wisdom. It is a commitment to alleviating suffering and the cause of suffering in all its forms. The human story is both personal and universal. Our personal experiences of pain and joy, grief and despair, may be unique to each of us in the forms they take. Yet our capacity to feel grief, fear, loneliness, and rage, as well as delight, intimacy, joy, and ease, are our common bonds as human beings. They are the language of the heart that crosses the borders of I and you. In the midst of despair or pain, you may be convinced that no one has ever felt this way before. Yet there is no pain you can experience that has not been experienced before by another in a different time or place. Our emotional world is universal. I think that really summarizes it quite beautifully. So throughout the day, we'll do our best to be open, taking care of ourselves, grounding ourselves, remembering basic wisdom. We all suffer. We're all connected. Things pass. Keeping our intention alive and being mindful and investigating what shows up. Yeah. So if we just do that, compassion will show up. Compassion will grow. To finish off, David White, The Well of Grief. Those who will not slip beneath the still surface on the well of grief, turning downward through its black water to the place we cannot breathe, we'll never know the source from which we drink, the secret water, cold and clear, nor find in the darkness glimmering the small round coins thrown by those who wished for something else. And so we will now have our day of practice.